Chapter 8, The Fight of the Century. In Max's changing room, he felt lonelier than he had ever felt in his life. This trip had been very different from the first time that he had fought Joe. From the moment he had got off the ship in New York Harbor, strangers had insulted him. Men made exaggerated Hitler salutes, threw things at him, and told him to go back to his Nazi friends in Germany. He tried to explain that he was not a Nazi and that his manager, Joe Jacobs, was Jewish. "I am a fighter, not a politician," he said. "I am no Superman in any way." But nobody was listening. Many of Max's American friends suggested that he should stay in the US and take American citizenship. Max knew that this might make life easier for him, but he did not take their advice. He wasn't a Nazi. But he was a patriotic German. "Once a German, always a German," he said. There was another reason why Max knew that whether he won or lost against Joe Lewis, he would have to return to Germany, and that was his wife. Goebbels had made sure that Mr. and Mrs. Schmeling never left Germany at the same time. In 1933, Max had married the beautiful blonde film star, Annie Ondra, and the two had become Germany's most glamorous couple. Everybody was very polite to Mrs. Schmeling, but Max had no idea what might happen to her if he did not return. Nobody was really safe in Nazi Germany. It was time to move into the ring. Max entered the arena and had to put a towel over his head to protect himself from the banana peels, cigarette packets, and paper cups that were thrown at him. It was not a good feeling. 70 million radio listeners around the world heard the voice of commentator Clem McCarthy. "This is the greatest fight of our generation," he declared. He introduced three ex-champions who were sitting in the audience, and then the two fighters. The crowd of 70,000 cheered. Ticket prices were more expensive than they had ever been, and extra rows of seats had been added in the stadium for the crowds of spectators. In Germany, millions listened to Arno Helmis, who would describe the fight over the radio. It was time for the match to begin. The bell rang for the beginning of round one, and the two boxers walked quickly to meet each other in the center. Both men began by circling each other for a few seconds. Max took two steps back, and Joe followed him and threw a couple of left jabs. Then he hit Max with a left hook. Schmeling stepped back to the ropes. It was so early in the fight, and Joe was already throwing everything he had at him with lefts and rights. Although he was being hit badly, Max instinctively knew that he had to get away from the ropes if he wanted to survive the first round. With all his strength, he managed to push himself back to the center of the ring. Lewis jabbed and quickly pulled his left hand back. Both he and Blackburn had learned a lesson from the last fight, and Joe didn't want to be hit again by Max's powerful right punch, but Max just jabbed weakly. Lewis jabbed again and again, and then threw a hard right to Schmeling's face. Max moved closer to Joe, but Joe pushed him away, and then, like an animal that had found its prey, followed him onto the ropes. Max opened his mouth, and for the first time, there was fear in his eyes. He tried to protect his face, but Joe seemed to be able to hit him wherever he wanted. From Schmeling's corner, his trainer shouted, "Move, Max, move!" Only a minute had passed, but Max was already hurt.